Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The baseball season is way too long.
The game is way too slow.
It's so boring to watch.
Shut up! Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
Swing and a long drive, deep to right.
Covering all things baseball.
Going, going.
The big leagues.
Going, going.
And the MLB to Portland.
Goodbye. He has done it. He has changed the game of the night with one swing of his bat.
Now. Here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch, on 1080.
Bang! Zoom! Go the fireworks!
The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Wednesday, as it's always a Wednesday. Joined here, Joe Fisher behind the glass, Mike Lynch across from me. This is the Hot Corner. We do this bad boy every single Wednesday night live from the poop-filled Willamette. Already coming in on the text line, 503-250-1080. Hot Corner, what up?
We have a text already?
Right back at you. What up?
Hi, random texter. Hello.
What up? We're here. We're here. That's what we do.
Hello, hello.
It's Wednesday.
It's after dark. Baseball's coming. Peter Griffin's on the ground.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Well, you know.
Are you okay?
One of us is going to have a season like that.
Two of us?
No, you got, like, exciting things to look at.
Stop. Stop.
Dude, you got a couple number one overall picks.
You know, like, Adley Rutschman's coming up this year.
Yeah, yeah. You got things to get excited about. Me, I'm like, Bradley Zimmer starting in center. Cool, we saw him 3 years ago.
But, you know, maybe he'll turn out to be good.
You know, we don't know who's playing at first base. So, like, let's get excited about that.
Jose Ramirez will move to first, right?
He's just going to play first, second, short, third. The true utility man. He plays every day. Anyway.
You're not that excited, are you?
Well,
it's
I am.
It's baseball. It's our favorite sport.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very excited. I'm excited to take a year off of my loser team and watch everything else.
What if you guys are good? What if you pull a raise?
Define good.
Oh, like 270.
270 is all right.
No. That's what you've always marked as good.
270 is good? No, I think like 295 is good.
Oh, is that what the debate has been?
Yeah, 295. Yeah, that's
that we read an article that said 270 is considered good, and you were like, eh.
Yeah, and I was like, eh, that's not very good.
Okay.
And I was like, 295, that's good.
All right, so how about you guys are in the wild card hunt?
And when you say hunt, you mean like we haven't been eliminated and we're 8 games back?
Well, no. And also with these expanded playoffs, which is a genius idea, more teams will have an opportunity late in the season, you know?
Joe, so. It's not a genius idea.
Hey.
It is not a genius.
Do you want
idea.
Baseball to grow or not?
Also, isn't that not happening?
It is not happening.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's not part of the CBA.
Well.
So.
All right. Well.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
And a cascade of boos rained down from the stands.
Wild card hunt.
Wild card hunt.
I mean that you are within a couple of games of the wild card spots.
I'll tell you what. When the season starts, my team is going to be in the hunt. We can check back in June, and I doubt it.
June!
Shane
Good
Bieber.
Good news, everyone!
Shane Bieber's 2-6 in July with a .75 ERA. How are you losing so fast?
You guys are not a poorly run franchise. Like, you have good players on your team.
Excuse me.
You traded most of them.
Gesundheit. What did you just say? We are not a poorly run team?
You're not the Pirates.
They spend more money than we do. It is a fact.
But I trust the Indians.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys have been good for, what, a decade now?
Yeah. Is that what white privilege feels like, you as a Yankee fan? You're like, look at those guys. They're really working hard. They went to a World Series once.
You know, maybe we can trust that little guy.
Maybe we can trust that little guy. And you're like, and the season's over.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't view you guys like a team that's going to be stuck bad for a long time. I kind of view you as a team that, you know, probably should spend more money on its own players, but it's not something that you guys do. But other teams that don't spend money have some success.
Well, you know, this whole Frankie Lindor thing, the whole thing.
The Royals, the Rays have won.
Whatever, the Royals are going to the World Series after today.
Hell yeah, baby. Andrew Benintendi.
I heard Suk at the end of primetime. Isaac was like, they're going to break down this Benintendi trade. And Suk was like, good luck. And I was like, oh yeah? I'll show you. I'll break it down harder than you've ever seen.
Meanwhile, he's not listening at all.
Meanwhile, I don't care.
You're like, Benintendi sucked last year. Yeah, that's the breakdown.
I know. It was like, well, you got Frankie Lindor. You know, you can trade him. And we all knew it was going to happen. But at least we figured you'd get a haul. No. Oh, one of your former pitchers is getting $1 billion. Oh, yeah.
Also, in the Frankie Lindor trade, you traded a good pitcher.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Carlos Carrasco.
Too. We still got the Biebs, though, man.
That you do.
We got the Biebs.
For 3 more years.
For 3 more months. It was like, holy goodness, you guys really suck.
Trade me.
Trade me.
Send me to the Yankees.
Please.
Here, Clint Frazier will come back.
Oh, God. That'd be the worst thing ever. And the Indians trade Shane Bieber in a 3-team deal that lands the Yankees, Shane Bieber, and the Indians get Clint Frazier, and the Mariners show up and throw in Justice Sheffield. And you're like, oh, yeah, awesome. Real pumped about this. Anyway.
This text says move on. No one cares about the Indians.
I know. You're totally right. Are you getting hot corner texts or just residuals from primetime? It's totally residuals from primetime.
It's a good lead-in.
I'm just riding the coattails. I'm just riding the coattails. Someone's like, man, what a great 4 hours. And I'm like, thanks. We haven't even started. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Like the support.
Even though we only have a 2-hour show, you're going to listen twice in a row for 4 full hours?
It means the world to me.
Wow.
It means so much. Anyway, how we doing? Everybody all right?
My name is Isaac. That's Suk.
You mispronounced Zook.
Right, sorry.
Yep, that's how it is.
I'm Isaac, and that's Zook.
I am a huge bald man. I'm just short, but they don't know that.
I like that.
Did everybody enjoy their Super Bowl, the big game?
Honestly, no. I didn't.
Yeah, you want to do real quick hot fire hot takes?
Yeah, the game sucked.
Game did suck. I knew it was going to. I said it all week. I was messing around on some other shows, doing some things, and I said, the number one thing I'm afraid of is that the hype of the quarterbacks, things aren't going to be excited.
They weren't. The game was boring basically the entire way through.
12 played well, though.
Yeah.
12 played well. I like watching players play well.
He played well, but he didn't do a lot. Like, if you look at the actual passing and receiving numbers for the Bucs, it's Gronk and nothing else. It was mostly the running game. It was mostly their defense, actually. The game was boring. I was at my apartment with my roommate, and it was boring. I miss the party. I miss, like, having people bring over food and having different things to try.
See, I didn't miss that part.
I made entirely too much spinach dip. I will go on the record with that. I made it. I put it in the Pyrex and cooked it. And I'm like, all right, I'm want any of this, Joey? No.
I love that Michael Scott line.
Spinach dip.
I love that Michael Scott line. He's like, I also know what it's like to invite people over and nobody shows up. What am I supposed to do with all that guacamole? It's like, why are you making so much guacamole?
Yeah, I guess I got a snack for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
I have to incorporate spinach dip.
It's a good
amount
of leftovers, though. I mean, you can put spinach dip on top of things.
For maybe the
you
first
can dip multiple things into the spinach dip.
For maybe the first time in a very, very long time, I did not watch the halftime show.
Well, oh, that's a shame.
I enjoyed it.
I don't care for the music, so I passed.
Well, I didn't either, but I like, even if I don't care about the music or the artist.
I also don't think he's that talented. Like, I don't listen to Gaga, but I watched that, and that was great. I don't listen to Bruno Mars, but I watched that, and that was great.
I knew nothing about The Weeknd, actually.
But I think they're talented. I don't think that guy's that talented.
I knew nothing about him. I went into it completely blind.
He reminds me like a Macklemore, where everyone loves it, but it's like, hey, meh.
Jesus Macklemore's Christ. First album was very good.
No, Ryan Lewis's first album
you know
was
what?
Very good.
You know what, guys?
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Joe's just giving up. DJ Fishsticks in there is like, and I'm out of here.
I went into the halftime show with zero expectations. I thought it was cool. I liked the opening thing that was on the screen that didn't look like it was on the screen, where he was in his car and you're like, oh, he's in a Pepsi car. And then you realize that was fake. And then he's walking to the edge of the screen as if he's there, but it wasn't there either. It was all screen. I thought that was pretty cool.
So my favorite thing,
I recognized more songs than I thought that were from him that I didn't realize. And so I thought it was pretty enjoyable.
My favorite thing about everything you just said is I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, but I assume
you're like the car and the thing and the songs. And I'm like, yeah, no idea.
It's because you walked away.
I did walk away.
Or you took a nap.
I had to go to the store. Mm. Damn. Stepbrothers leeching off my burr. I was like, I can take a six pack to my mom's and this should do me fine for, you know, one game of football. It's halftime, and I look down, there's one left.
And how many had you had?
Two.
Mm. So you got half of your six pack.
Yeah. I was like, this is garbage.
And you were trying to...
I don't have a job. You guys have money.
You were trying...
You didn't bring anything?
To pace yourself like two per quarter? Well, that wouldn't have worked. Like 1-1-2-2, is that what your plan was?
I think it was just...
Is that math?
Just keep going.
Okay, just keep going.
When you're thirsty, crack drinking, another one.
Just keep drinking.
Just keep going. Just keep going.
Just keep swimming.
Anyway, I thought it was all right. Boring game, but, you know, hey, it wasn't Patriots-Rams.
That was way worse.
I did have a really...
I watched that game with you, and it was awful.
Yeah, I did have a really funny moment. I'll be quick about this. My girlfriend and I, we stopped by her mom's house that morning, and we were outside. They did some... yard work, and they're older, so we're distancing, we're masked up, and her mom's husband was like, oh yeah, it's the Super Bowl, I got some work to do in the shop. He's like a woodworker in the shop, and he goes, and I'll throw the game on, but I don't really know anything that's going on, I don't follow anything, but I think I saw on TV Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl again, so it must be the Patriots, so I guess I'll watch and see if the Patriots win another one. And I didn't have the heart to tell him, because I thought to myself, if I was 86 and I said to myself, I don't know what's going on, but I think Tom Brady's in it, so it must be the Patriots. The discovery that it's not the Patriots and then discovering that Tom Brady is there and that he's not on the Patriots, I feel like as an 86-year-old man, that would rock my world. And I'm into that.
Wait, so...
I want to feel that feeling.
Wouldn't it have rocked his world either way if you had told him or if he had seen it?
I just wanted to let him find out organically.
So, like, the opening of the game starts. And
yeah, it's like...
Kansas City Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And he's like, what? I thought it was Tom Brady. Huh. Okay, oh, I guess I'll let that slide.
And then the first drive. Tom Brady leads the Bucs onto the field.
You're like, wait, Tom Brady's not in New England? What is going on right now?
Who's winning? What is occurring?
Right? I didn't want to take that away from him. I thought that was a cool moment.
That is cool.
Ugly Dougly, well, we got a show lined up for you because the baseball gods just keep on giving and giving and giving and giving, and we'll be here to break down a lot of stuff. I want to talk about some farm systems here, focusing on a local team, and see how that plays out. Michael once again sent me an article that I did not read, but I remember thinking, I want us to talk about this.
Every time you say this, I say to myself, I sent you an article.
Mike and I have been getting emails about fantasy baseball drafts, so maybe we can get in a little, I don't know, but there's a lot to get to. You can find us on social media. Mike's on Twitter at MikeLynch27. You can find me on Instagram at PDD085. Our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher's on Twitter at JoeFish3. That's F-I-S-C-H. I don't remember, dude. I didn't look at it.
It was a video.
You send me these in the morning, and I'm like half-cocked, barely awake. I don't know what to tell you, man. Speaking of that, Beers on Us, the podcast Mike and I do, will drop tomorrow at 4 p.m. sharp. A little COVID update in the beer world, so make sure you download that wherever you get your podcast, TanOfTheFanRadio.com. And the fan text line, 503-250-1080, is how you can interact with us. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. When we come back, there's a man that's very, 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 very rich. Very rich. Lots of dollars. Dollars going around everywhere. What are the Dodgers? Start there. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
7:21, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. DJ Fishsticks on the spin table. Watched a good episode of The Office last night. When Dunder Mifflin decides to buy out Michael Scott Paper Company.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in and says, oh, how the turntables.
Classic line. Classic line.
It's a good
one. Funny because I've only watched The Office once. Which is very unusual because almost everybody who watches it nonstop.
Yikes, we pay for Peacock just for it.
And you still get ads because Peacock is stupid.
Well, but I do it for EPL, but
right.
The Office is the bonus.
Parks and Rec is on there now, too, which I've been watching.
I don't love that show.
That's better than The Office.
Hot take. And you're wrong.
Let's not go down this road again. This will be the third time in the last, like, 2-3 months we've done this.
Well, it's better than Lost, I'll tell you that.
It wasn't
just like,
us.
No!
Well, I'm the one who loves Lost. But
no, I just mean Joe like just doesn't want to hear this argument again.
More Loss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no argument. Loss is a fantastic show.
It is a fantastic show.
Oh my god. You guys
me, Dusty, and Spray got into a big love fest for Parks and Rec.
Beginning, middle, end.
Well, I will join that love fest.
Parks and Rec is bad.
I will
the
jump
office.
In the bed with you guys.
Not that The Office is anywhere near bad or anything. It's also a great show.
No, Parks and Rec is only decent when Rasheeda Jones shows up. And even then, I'm kind of like,
she's in every single episode.
Okay, we're doing it again. We're doing this again, you guys.
It's just fake Office.
Okay.
I don't like Amy Poehler.
It's
I said it.
More lovable characters, IMO.
Oh, my God. We're doing it.
I digress. I watched Old School last night.
Oh, really?
I had not seen Old School in a very long time. In fact, I think I had only seen Old School in parts. Like, I'd seen the whole movie, but it was always on TV, and I'd turn it on, and it'd be, like, halfway through, or I'd watch the beginning and turn it off, and I watched it straight through yesterday.
I recommend you quit being such a...
Yeah!
That line, I'll never forget that line. I was like, whoa! Hey, whoa! Hey, whoa!
I didn't realize just how many soon-to-be-famous actors are in that movie.
Yeah, man.
Like, that's the first movie for a lot. Like, one of the guys who's in Big Bang Theory is in that movie. I noticed that. John from Lost is in the movie as the boss. Alicia Cuthbert's in the movie. It's just like all of these soon to be famous, at least for a little bit, actors are all in Old School. Fantastic.
Yeah. Every time I watch that movie, I just want fried chicken, KFC, through the quad, you know? All right. Well, we should probably get into this, right? This is what we do.
Get into what? How Parks and Rec's better than The Office?
No, I don't want to get into that, Mike, because I'm here to talk about real things and not waste my time with childish...
Like how Rasheeda Jones' character is better in Parks and Rec than in The Office?
Hot take opinions.
Meanwhile, you started this segment with hot take, Parks and Rec's not that good.
This is not satellite radio, Michael. We are here to...
This is terrestrial radio.
This is terrestrial. We are here to... Give the people what they want, and they don't want to hear your terrible takes on Parks and Rec. You know what they do
what
want
would to... What would you like to talk about, then?
Treat yourself.
Well played.
I would like to get into this discussion.
Oh, how the turntables.
Because... Now I want to just find that. Now I just want to waste the next minute and a half. Here's the screen. We're going to pull it back. Pay no attention to the man behind. I need that drop. I need that.
How the turntables?
No. When the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
When Toto pulls the curtain over and he's like, pay no attention to the man. And he's like spinning things and he's pressing buttons frantically. I need that. I need that desperately.
Well, Joe is a producer and could probably find it.
I don't know. He's busy over there doing something. Have you noticed how long his hair is?
It is very long.
That guy.
That guy has he has the hair of a YouTuber or streamer that hasn't gotten a cut since COVID started, but because they stream 15 hours a day, they don't have time.
It's like growing in the middle of the stream.
Growing and growing and growing.
How is the length?
I need some donations so I can get my hair cut. Smash that subscribe button.
How is the hair length of Medium Joe?
It's pretty long, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You guys like a tag team duo right now?
Yeah, exactly that.
How many father's sons have won the tag team belts?
I don't know. I don't think Mike would know that.
Yeah, look at me. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Mike just said Joe's the producer, so he must know everything or do everything. You step out of the chair for 1 second, Michael, and you just dump all over him.
I literally, what is happening? This is you stalling more.
This
You're
is
creating
not
drama
me stalling.
To stall.
No, this is me fighting for my guy over here. And here's you just, oh, not in the chair anymore. All over that guy.
No, I just don't know anything about wrestling. I don't know. What do you want from me?
I just wanted to talk long hair. Mostly because I miss it.
Are you jealous?
Well, yeah, of course I am. Mm. It's one of those things like, sorry, not sorry that I'm sad and depressed.
That jersey makes me uncomfortable. That guy's wearing a Cream City jersey.
What?
That was the Brewers. That
Do
was
we
the,
need to hit the dump button for that?
No, that's
Can
the,
you say Cream City on the air?
That was the Bucks alternate jersey last year.
It says Cream City?
Yes. That is the nickname of Milwaukee.
This makes me uncomfortable. Milwaukee should not have those jerseys. Yes. Yeah, okay, I agree. Why are we watching this? I'm going to change the channel.
Yeah,
all right, when we come back, I do want to get into the Dodgers made the splash landing. We thought it was going to be the Mets, but it's actually the Dodgers. And we do need to talk because this is going to shape a lot of stuff. Let's get real here for a moment. All right, guys, Joe, Mike, pull it in, okay? Tired of you guys hijacking this show from me. My name is First. What was that? Do you have something to say? No?
Is it First?
I think so. I hope so. Otherwise, I'm not doing well with this.
Is it First? I think it is First, yeah.
What? My Mike, this show has been the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch for...
Oh, that's right. Don't mind me. Don't mind me.
Wow.
Anyway, I only pull that out just to make fun of you. When we come back, I do want to dive in this because this is something big that does kind of shape the landscape of not only the National League, but it does shape kind of everything going on with the entirety of the season of the league. And I think it raises a lot of other questions about, is this a good thing for baseball? Short term, long term, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot to get into. So I want to get into Trevor Bauer. We'll do that next. But first, there's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
We finally found something on TV that is not bad NBA.
It's a movie I said that I watched yesterday. It's old school on the same channel that I watched it on yesterday.
Watching old school.
Great movie.
And I could get into who is which character in this show, but I think that's a bad idea because we actually have things to discuss.
Right.
The Los Angeles Dodgers stole the headlines.
I'm Vince Vaughn, right?
I don't know. You want to be?
For the love of God, please.
I'm just tall, that's all. That's why I said that.
Oh, okay. As long as I'm not Jeremy Piven.
Oh, Farrell's tall.
Again.
Wait, now I'm doing it. Come on, baseball.
I was like, you ever seen Entourage? You look just like Jeremy Piven. I'm
all right,
like, sweet,
I give up.
Thanks. The Dodgers made a pretty big scene. We all thought it was kind of be the Mets. I think we were even here last week, and it seemed like some things had tweeted, or maybe it was the next day, Bob Nightingale came across and said that Bauer to the Mets, that's a done deal.
Yeah.
Just to be surprised. And Trevor Bauer goes to the Los Angeles Dodgers, anchoring probably easily the best rotation in Major League Baseball now.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. But the interesting, there's so many caveats about this. And I want to start.
Well,
I actually
just
know
quickly,
where I want to start.
Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer, David Price.
I know everyone forgets they have David Price.
Julio Urias.
Pay no attention to Dustin May.
Right.
Who's the guy that started games in the World Series? Like short starts.
Joe just said Ross Stripling, but I don't think it was him.
He's not there anymore. No, there was a guy that he like started game seven, only threw like an inning or two each time.
Oh.
He was the cat guy.
What?
Like Fox made a quick promo with him meowing like a cat. I forget what his name is.
I missed
Whoa.
That completely.
Joe, what are you into?
Oh, I'll find it.
Are you a furry?
I'll find
you,
it.
Are you a furry?
Maybe.
Anyway, they're loaded. They're absolutely loaded.
Yes.
So what do you want to get into? You want to get into what this means for baseball, or you want to get into the contract?
Tony Gonsolin.
Tony Gonsolin. Thank you. You want to do
Kong? That's exactly who it is.
Look at that baseball memory on this brain.
Yeah, whatever. You got a computer in front of you.
You want to come look at the non-search I just did?
No, because that'd be bad radio. Do you want to get into contract, or do you want to get into what this means for baseball?
Oh, let's start with the contract because cool. It's interesting.
Cool. So Trevor Bauer signs a deal, 3-year deal, $103 million, opt-outs after year one and year two. First year, $40 million. Second year, $45 million.
Correct.
He is the highest paid player in baseball in the next 2 years, mm-hmm. mostly because guys like Betts and Trout's contracts haven't fully kicked in yet, because they would be more if my memory serves me correct.
Okay.
This is a strange thing, because we're used to seeing Gerrit Cole deals. We're used to seeing Max Scherzer deals. 8 years, 7 years, Patrick Corbin deals. 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, where the money is spread across. This is all up front. This is saying, Trevor Bauer, we're going to pay you $40 million next year. And if you opt out, you opt out. We're going to pay you $45 million the next year. If you opt out, you opt out. Is this a better route to go for teams? Pay it up front without long-term commitment, or is it better to stretch it out and guarantee they play for you?
To me personally, I'd rather you stretch it out and guarantee they play for me. Now, there is, I think, a subtle genius about what the Dodgers did in this instance, because we talked about it on this show before too. Trevor Bauer has not been last year's Trevor Bauer for his entire career. Last year, he's the Cy Young winner.
Sure.
But his career ERA is like 3.7.
You ain't got to tell me, man. So, been watching him.
The genius of this is he's the best pitcher on the market. The Dodgers want to continue to load up to win more World Series.
Well, the Rangers snag Fulton Avich, and you know I'm a big Fulton guy.
He's the best pitcher on the market.
Yes, yes.
And the Dodgers get him, and they say, look, you were the Cy Young last year, but we don't know if that's really Trevor Bauer or if that was a fluke.
Short season. We talked about this with Bieber, mm-hmm. how I'm super pumped on you. You're like, well, I don't know. Let's wait to see a full season.
So it's smart. It's like, okay, we'll pay you the freight this year, but, you know, if you're not that good, although it's his opt-out, though.
Mm-hmm.
So if
it
he's
is
not
his
that
opt-out.
Good, he might stay anyway and get 45. But there's a genius to it. You're not locking yourself into a guy who could flame out.
Right.
Right. That's what I think is the positive to it. I don't know, though. I don't think you're going to see this too often. I think Trevor Bauer has always bucked the trend. He's a guy who's taken one-year deals multiple times. That's just kind of the way he does it.
Well, you saw that he made the bet with his buddy. Like, I'll never sign a long-term deal. If I do, you can shoot me in the nuts with a paintball gun.
Right. I think it's more of a, like, it's a way to maximize his money. You know, each year, one-year deal versus mm-hmm. spreading it out awkwardly through multiple years and then maybe getting traded or this or that.
$103 million in 3 years? That's usually $100 million in 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So I think I don't think you're going to see much of a change. I think Bauer's a unique case. Or else if you were going to see a change, I think you'd see more of it. But you don't. Bauer's been doing one-year deals for years.
Right, right. But I don't think we've ever seen anything come to the forefront like this.
You mean like so front-loaded?
Yeah, and I'm kind of the opposite of you.
I don't know if I could argue against that. I don't know if I, off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think I can either, but I'm kind of the opposite of you in that I think this is a good move. I think it's a better move for the team than the player because what do we always see with pitchers? They're on these large contracts. Look at CeCe Sabathia. I love CeCe to death, and I know you do as well. You're paying how much for that guy at the end of his career? That's not great,
right.
Which makes him hard to re-sign when he becomes a free agent because it's like, yo, I just came off making $23 million and you want to pay me $8 million? And it's like, well, yeah, dude, you're not that good anymore. I think this is an interesting trend that I think could continue. It's all age dependent. If Trevor Bauer is 3 years older, he's a long-term deal. But
maybe,
I think,
yeah.
But if... if you're the Dodgers and you win a World Series and he pitches incredibly for you and then decides to opt out because he wants more, doesn't it make it a little easier for you to just walk and say thanks, no thanks?
Yeah, probably. But that's
and that's kind of what I'm thinking. because now the Dodgers are the odds-on favorites in the World Series.
Well,
and
also,
if Bauer does go out and have a great year, I don't think he's better than Walker Buehler. I mean, I think Trevor Bauer is a top 10, 15 pitcher in Major League Baseball. I don't think he's the best pitcher on his team. But if you go out and he balls out and he decides to opt out to get paid, I think you can let him walk and be okay with that.
I think also one thing to think about here that, you know, maybe you're not instantly putting to the top of your head is that to do this, the Dodgers are continuing to be enormously over the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm. Big time. They're in trouble with that. Well, they're not in trouble because they're just going to pay it.
There is actually no other team in baseball who's over the luxury tax right now.
You guys aren't?
No.
The Yankees, I thought they created the luxury tax for you.
They did. But the Yankees have worked really hard the last few years to get under it. So right now the Dodgers are the only team that's going to be paying completely out the ass for going over the luxury tax. If he opts out, you're just like, okay, we'll just pay less in luxury tax, right? I mean, the Dodgers can pay it anyway.
Right.
They're the second richest team in baseball. But
behind Cleveland, of course.
Of course, yeah. They just make a lot of money. They love to make so much money.
I've been to Progressive. It's beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, so I think that would be helpful for them, too. If he opts out, they're like, okay, we'll just save some money.
I think this could be a trend.
Who's the highest paid pitcher in baseball outside of him? I want to look at his contract. That's why.
I think per year, I think the answer is Garrett Cole.
Okay. I just want to see if his is front-loaded.
Could be DeGrom.
It's actually both of them. I'm getting DeGrom and Cole at $36 million apiece with Greinke at 35 right below him.
Yeah, so Garrett Cole's contract.
Greinke's getting paid 35 a year?
Looks like it. SportTrack.com. They're usually on that.
Garrett Cole's contract is 36 every year. There's no increase. There's no decrease. It is a flat rate every single year, $36 million. No signing bonus either. It's just $36 million straight
up. Hi, Brian Cashman. I would like to be a Yankee. Here is the most team-friendly deal possible.
All right, let's see. Jacob DeGrom contract. Let's see if it's similar.
Well, his was shorter years. His is like 3 years because he's older. He's older, and I remember his deal being short, but a lot of money.
Yeah, he is getting paid 33.5 this year and a 2.5 mil signing bonus, 33.5 next year, 30.5, and then 32.5. So it changes a little bit, but it's not like a gradually decreasing or increasing scale.
I remember.
So it is a unique contract for sure.
Yeah, it's unique. And, you know, guys like Garrett Cole and DeGrom are going to make more money long term, potentially. We don't know what's going to happen. I think this is something we see.
My mic is off.
I was like,
if Trevor Bauer keeps signing 2 year, $90 million deals, he'll make more money than Garrett Cole.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting. It's almost like finally, you know, we view pitchers and hitters differently, yet for some reason their contracts aren't really different. You know what I mean?
I was just looking up Mookie Betts. It's the same.
Yeah. Mookie Betts is getting paid the same amount as Garrett Cole. And we
always has more variance in it, but there's no significant increase or decrease.
Sure. And we talk about this with MVPs. You know, well, it's really tough to give Verlander the MVP because he only throws every 5 days to where so-and-so is out there every day. But I think this is actually the better route to go in terms of contracts. I would like to see more of this difference. Short term, big money up front. Mookie Betts, I want to lock in. But do I want to lock in any pitcher for more than 5 years? You know, name me any pitcher that's worth a damn that their contract 5 years later looks good.
God.
They're all... It's rhetorical.
Yeah.
The answer is they're all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And there's no saying that Bauer is a Hall of Famer. There's no saying Walker Buehler is a Hall of Famer. No saying Jacob DeGrom, Garrett Cole. But, I mean, a lot of times the ones that work out are actually Hall of Fame guys. I think this could be a trend we see a lot more of going forward.
I guess I wouldn't be surprised
by short deals, money up front.
But people want security. That's the only thing is players want security.
Yeah.
And Trevor Bauer plays with no security.
$85 million in 2 years and your control isn't security? It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
I get it. $50 million in 2 years is to us is like, well, yeah, that's security, but it ain't 85.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like things start to kind of change. It makes me wonder if Garrett Cole's a free agent right now. Do the Mets say, I'll give you $100 million for 2 years? You know? And if you're Garrett Cole, you're like, do I have an opt-out after year one? They're like, yeah.
Oh.
Done. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Why not? 2 years? What else could go wrong?
Right.
Outside of your elbow blowing out and right, some dude course. Named Tommy John shows up of and you're course. Like, oh, no, the ghost of Christmas past. Anyway, so that'll be interesting to see how contracts go. When we come back, I want to ride this Trevor Bauer story because I do think there is something worth talking about, how this affects what the National League looks like and what baseball as a whole looks like going in the 2021 season. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
Felis catus, better known as the domestic cat. But the family Felidae has another member. Feline blood flows through his veins, always ready to pounce. Part man, part cat, Tony Gonsolin.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Meow.
Now, automatically, one of Mike's favorite players, Cat Guy.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick's Cat Guy, too.
Hey, that makes three of us. I'm a Cat Guy, too.
I'm a Cat Guy. Every time I get
home. No wonder people hate this show. Every time.
And the ratings plummet.
Well, you can't hate the show if you don't listen to it. You know, nobody's out there, so who cares?
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Tony Gonsolin.
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 Half man, half cat.
He's not related to Ryan Gosling.
No,
Patrick, those would be different last names.
Well, that's unfortunate. They sound the same to me.
What is this, Jared Goff and Jared Goff?
No, I don't understand that joke. Is that from some dumb show you work on?
Ouch.
Wow.
I'm just joking.
My soul.
Scalding.
It is pretty wild.
Look at you scoffing at my joke.
I have some non-alcoholic tequila to rub on that burn.
You're lucky I listen to Primetime a lot because I caught you saying scoffing.
Well, that's
because
Suk
instead of scoff. I know. It blows my mind that he can't break it.
Nope. Can't do it.
Yeah. He's like, he can't say golf.
Nope.
It's always golf.
Yep. Gonna look at this in scoff.
He's got a lazy tongue.
But he can say the word off. Like Suk, say off. Off.
Off.
Say golf. Golf.
Golf. Both. That was the one that always got me. Both.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say both. It's both.
It's both.
Joe's hands are in his head through his hair. He hates life right now.
I'm just wee bit tired.
He's tired of us. That's what
it
is.
Yeah, no kidding. I do want to get into this real quick, and I know that we're already up against it. I got this great text on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Bauer has a career 4 ERA and only a couple of good seasons. Is it really that big of a signing, or is it recency bias? And I love that question because I kind of want to ask, obviously on paper, Bauer's a great pitcher, okay? I said he's 10-15 top in the league.
I mean, last year he was a Cy Young winner, but his career, he is a good pitcher.
He is a good pitcher, above average good pitcher.
Sure.
Him adding to the Dodgers, and I want to get away from value aside. Okay, contract value aside, because this contract is something we've never seen before. So I want to put that aside. Obviously, he bolsters a Dodgers lineup that just won a World Series. Is this as scary as people, the early reactions say? Or is this just a pretty good upgrade as your number two starter?
I don't think it's as scary as people say. It's less about Trevor Bauer and more about like David Price. So David Price didn't play last year.
Right. He opted out.
And before he was traded, he wasn't good anymore.
This is also true.
Some of that had to do with, I think, a little bit of the pressure of playing in Boston and all that kind of stuff. Not that there's not pressure in LA. It's just different. So I wonder if he's going to be good enough. Like everyone's like, oh, Price is there for a starter. I'm like, do you remember what David Price has been the last few years?
Do you remember what David Price was as Boston's third starter? Wasn't that great?
Remember how he is in the playoffs? It's usually terrible.
Ooh, yikes.
It's more him than Bauer. Kershaw got the playoff demons off his back last year.
Sure. And,
and Buehler is insanely good.
Yeah, Walker Buehler is a top five pitcher in baseball. Clayton Kershaw is a highly above average serviceable pitcher these days.
Yep.
I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's still one of the greatest pitchers we've seen in our generation.
Exactly. But he's getting older.
He is.
And there's no lie about that. but he's not the dominant force he once was. He can show it just like a Verlander can. God, why do I mention that guy's name so much? I hate that guy.
But he's good.
He's the first ballot Hall of Famer. I actually, when I heard this, and I know I said contract aside, but once I heard the numbers, and this could be my Cleveland bias. I loved Bauer when he was in Cleveland. I always thought he had the potential to be a Cy Young winner. He just needed to figure it out upstairs because he's kind of a head case in a fun way. I don't think this, I was talking to a buddy tonight who's from Atlanta, diehard, born and bred Braves fan. And he just kind of threw up his hands. And I was like, you know what, man? I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Walker Buehler, you're going to have to get through. Mm-hmm. You got Old Steady and Clayton. Price is a wild card, but I think I'm going to lean more towards meh than good. I don't think Bauer buries the National League.
No, I don't think so
either. I sure as hell don't think it buries Major League Baseball.
No, I don't think so either. I think now if Bauer is a Cy Young pitcher again, and you have a 1.8 ERA for him and Buehler's low ERA and Kershaw pitches a 2.8, then yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's going to be a big problem.
Look out.
But I think that's a big if. And there's a lot of good teams in baseball. And there's a lot of good teams in the National League.
Yeah,
and there's another good team in your own division, especially in the Padres,
yeah, who have been building themselves up. In the National League. Let's not forget what the Padres have done. Okay, the Padres got Yu Darvish, also a Cy Young finalist.
And Blake Snell.
Blake Snell, who the last time I saw Blake Snell looked pretty damn good.
And a former Cy Young winner.
Yeah. I am not as worried. The chances that Trevor Bauer is the best pitcher in the National League, I'm not even going to consider that because the chance of him being the best pitcher on his own team, I don't think are that great.
Yeah. So it's not the end of the world. Here's the great thing about baseball is that we've seen, how many times have we seen a staff get created and we're like, well, that's it.
There you go.
And how often has that staff actually led that team to a World Series win?
The last time we saw that, I'd say late 90s Yankees.
Or mid-90s Braves, 95.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, once Yanks get Roger Clemens and David Wells and post that up with David Cohn and that kind of, and you got a young Andy Pettit.
Yeah, and you got LGK.
That's when you're kind of like, whoa, hey. But we've seen, you're right, we've seen this.
We've seen the Nationals do it.
My Cleveland team has had the best rotation in baseball 2 years in a row and nothing to show for it.
We've seen the Nationals do it. We've seen the Tigers do it.
Yep.
We've seen the Mets do it.
Yep.
That's probably it. But I guess the Red Sox too did it for a year as well. And none of those teams, maybe the Red Sox won the World Series the year they had it. Was that with Sale, Price when he was still good, Porcello when he won the MVP? Like, was that kind of a staff? I'm trying to remember correctly.
You know, that's a staff that wins a World Series, but I don't think any of us, when that staff was put together, are going like, whoa, look out. We knew Sale was a big pickup for him. Mm-hmm. When they got Price, we were like, well, that's a good pickup for them. But I don't think any of us were like, whoa.
It just doesn't happen as it should on paper in baseball.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's a hard sport to win all the way through.
It rarely shakes out.
The playoffs are incredibly hard to predict because you've got 5 to 7 game series where anything can happen. And, you know, oftentimes the best teams will make it, but that doesn't mean that the best staff's going to win, you know? So this is not a sure, it's not a sure thing. It's not like, well,
2016
game over.
I don't mean to like hijack this and keep talking about my crappy team. 2016 World Series, Cleveland has the better starting pitching staff. Trevor Bauer's on that staff. Mm-hmm. Better than the Cubs. Who wins? Cubs.
Yep. I mean,
better pitching staff, 2015 World Series, Mets, Royals. Mets have the better staff.
Since
they get destroyed by the Royals,
to talk about my stupid team, since 2001, how many times coming out of an offseason have people been like, well, Yankees are going to win the World Series?
A lot.
And how many times have they?
Once. A lot.
Almost every year. It's really effing hard.
At least the Tom Brady syndrome of every other year. At least every other year.
Which makes what the Red Sox did that much more amazing, which makes what the Yankees did that much more amazing in the late 90s and go all the way back to all the teams that did it. That's what makes it amazing is it's incredibly difficult to do. So for Boston to do it every other year for, what was it, 6 years, basically? Mm-hmm. It was 3-6. Wasn't that what they did?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that should be lauded as a great accomplishment for a team. But that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The Dodgers made it how many years in a row, and they only won once. And it's because the team they were playing's manager is an effing idiot.
Yeah, that is true.
It took Blake Snell out of the game.
Yeah, that is true.
Else they would have been the new Bills.
At first, I thought you were talking about Dave Roberts, and I was like, that guy is an idiot. And then you were like, he took Blake Snell out of the game, and I was like, oh, right, the other idiot.
Yeah, Kevin Cash.
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting thing to keep tabs on. I'm sure Bauer will pitch well, but how well, that'll be something to see how dangerous the Dodgers are coming out of the gate. All right, we come back. We got a great second hour loaded. I do want to talk about, hold your breath. I do want to talk about this Baseball America. They have listed a team as the second best farm system of baseball. And that might blow your mind. And we'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner. That's Mike Lynch. I'm Patrick Harris. Joe Fish behind the glass. 1080 The Fan.